Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a vision for you big book study. My name is Melanie C. and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Thursday, November 29th, 2018, and this is the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. And today we are reading from the big book, and we're on page 164 in the chapter, A Vision for You. We're going to be reading one paragraph today. It's paragraph one, and it begins with, Still You May Say. And today's readers are The 12 Steps, Valerie B., The 12 Traditions, Cindy D., and reading the text and support today, Wendy M., Pia S., and Christine M. Thank you so much, Team Thursday, for a fabulous November. The reference numbers, we'll call them the share ID numbers for yesterday's 10 a.m. meeting is 12238. 12,238. That's Wednesday, November 28th, 2018, 10 a.m. meeting. The share ID number for this morning, 7 a.m. meeting. That would be Thursday, November 29th, 2018, 7 a.m. share ID, 12242. 12,242. The OA preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Valerie B. to read the 12 steps.
Hello, this is Valerie B. and I'm going to my app to bring up the 12 steps. Thank you. I don't know. Okay. It's not coming up. Jeez. It's not coming up. Wait.
Valerie, do you want me to somebody to step in for you?
Wait a second. Okay, here we go.
I can read it.
Okay, I got it. One, we admitted we were powerless over food and that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people whenever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for the knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you for letting me share.
Thank you, Valerie B. I will now ask Cindy D. to read the 12 traditions.
Good morning, everyone. This is Cindy D., gratefully recovered in Texas. The 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our trusted leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. Four, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. Five, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. Six, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. Seven, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. Eight, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12, anonymity is a spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you, and I pass Melanie.
Thank you, Cindy D. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass. Then press star 1 again, and that will remute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the one speaking should be muted, and this would include the star 1 method, please. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book in the chapter, A Vision for You. We're on page 164, and we're going to take apart and study paragraph 1, and that begins with, Still You May Say. And I will ask Wendy M. to open us up by reading that paragraph and then describe her experience in Strength and Hope. Thanks, Wendy. Good morning to you.
Yes, good morning, Mel. Hi, thank you for your service. Wendy M., recovered in Boulder, Colorado, grateful for entire abstinence this morning, and just grateful to be on the line with my fellowship. So still you may say, but I will not have the benefit of contact with you who write this book. We cannot be sure. God will determine that. So you must remember that your real reliance is always upon him. He will show you how to create the fellowship you crave. There is a lot here in this small paragraph. I love the first part, still and but, right? That just reminds me of where my head goes when I get scared. But still, rather than I'm going to set aside what I think I know about anything, really, it's still and but. Like, I'm not sure yet if I'm really going to rely completely on a power greater than myself. And then it says, we cannot be sure. Well, here's the deal with me. I want a sure bet, right? The food is down, but life is up. And I want a sure bet. I want to make sure that if I get divorced, which I just did, that I have a sure bet coming, that this person I'm with now is the sure thing, and it's a guarantee, right? And when I'm in that way, I'm in the way, right? There's no God when I want a sure bet, absolutely. And then it says crave, you know, and I crave attention. I crave control. I can crave sure bet, guarantees, not being alone. I crave all of that, right? but mainly I crave control. When I'm in my will and not relying on God, I crave control because of fear. And when I'm in self-reliance, I'm in fear. They're one and the same. If I'm fearful, I'm in self-reliance always. And it says here, your real reliance is always upon Him. And I can tell you the last 6 months, my reliance has absolutely been on myself with regard to a relationship. And when you have one foot in self-reliance and one foot in God, it's absolutely miserable. I don't recommend it. I really don't recommend it, right? It's a complete surrender, not just a halfway surrender. And it's like having a head full of program and eating. It never works, you know. And the thing is, God makes me miserable when I'm doing this. That's God's gift to me, to feel awful about it, right? And what I want to say is, really, why wouldn't I go to an infinite power, a power that makes me feel good, that makes me feel peaceful, that makes me feel serene and sane? You know, God is simply love. I can keep it simple. And when I think about God, and I think about God-reliance rather than self-reliance, right, because this book is basically explaining that we have to have a death of self. I have to get out of the way. Myself cannot be involved in my life. It just can't. It never works. Every time, it's a guarantee that it doesn't work. So the question is, how do I get to God? And I think of God as a verb, right? I have to act my way to God. I have to be helpful, be of service, measure my food, commit my food, work with my sponsee. I have to get out of myself all the time to get to God. That's all I know. You know, that's what I've been told. And it's an action, not a thought process. I can't just think my way into God reliance. I have to actually act my way into God reliance. You know, and somebody, I've heard many, many times on this line, you know, God is love. And so when I am loving, I am in God. When I am of service, I am doing God. I am in God. God is with me. And when I'm not in God, I can guarantee it's absolutely miserable. And I heard somebody on the line earlier just say, like, I was kicking and screaming, right? Because the thing is, this is a radical trust. This is saying God's plan. Okay, I'll just finish up. God's plan. What about my plan? My plan might be better than God's plan, and it never is. It never is. God's plan, God's vision is so vast and so much better for me if I just take the plunge. So thanks.
Thank you, Wendy M. We are in the big book this morning in the chapter Vision for You on page 164. We are working on and working out paragraph one today only. It starts with Still You May See. And I would like to invite others to comment their experience, strength, and hope on that paragraph today.
Dorita P.
Jackie H.
S. in Florida.
Jackie H. Pia.
Cindy O.
Julie E.B.
Kathleen O. Somewhere just before Julie E.B. and between that and Kathleen O. Who is that?
Betty C.
Okay, I think that's what goes to. Okay, we're going to stop there. Thank you so much. We'll catch the rest in the next round. So I have Dorita P, Jackie H, Pia S, Kathleen O, Betty, I didn't quite catch it, Betty C maybe, and then Julie E.B. Good morning, Dorita, again. Hello, how are you? It's your turn.
Hi, Melanie. My name is Dorita P, Dorita P, and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater, and I'm really grateful to be here. It's a privilege and honor to be at a meeting of Overeaters Anonymous. Everybody do not get this opportunity for whatever reason, so I am really grateful I have a seat here. Yeah, still you may say, but I will not have the benefit of contact with you who write this book. Yeah, so I was born in 1970. I believe Bill W. died in 1971, I believe. I know it was right around there. And, you know, I felt bad, like, oh, why wasn't he still alive? I'm in Cleveland. I live in Cleveland. And the oldest continuous AA meeting is in Cleveland. There's another one in Akron, but this one in Cleveland have been continuing for the whole time. And it's right down the street from me, I could say. And so a couple weeks ago, they celebrated their anniversary, and the guy who I think he wrote the screenplay for the movie, My Name is Bill W. If you've never seen it, you should see it. I own a copy. But anyway, so that guy who did that, he's in his 80s, and he's got like 60 years of sobriety. And, you know, so he was around when Bill W. was around. So I just wanted to see him. But unfortunately, he wasn't able to make it because he's 86, and they were going to drive him and his wife, and they didn't make it. But anyway, you know, just to have the benefit of contact with somebody, you know. And it says, we cannot be sure. God will determine that you must, so you must remember that your real reliance is always upon him. He will show you how to create the fellowship you crave. Yes. So my favorite thing to do, I have two favorite things to do in OA. My first favorite is starting meetings, and I've started about 10 meetings, and, you know, he will show you how to create the fellowship you crave. And so, you know, I'm starting these meetings, and I'm getting this all this fellowship. And I wanted to say one last thing, and I can't remember what it was. Oh, and my second favorite thing is speaking, you know, telling my story. I love to tell, you know, it's not my story, it's God's story that happened to me. So I'm just really grateful for new people. Keep coming back. You know, if you find just a portion of what I found here, you'll be doing great, because I'm happy, joyous, and free. What this book promises and OA promises, that we can have a life that's beyond our wildest dreams. And I have a life that's beyond my wildest dreams. Thank you. Take care. Happy holidays, everybody. I'll
thank
pass.
You, Dorita P. Okay, great. Thank you. Jackie H., it's your turn. P.S. next. Hi, Jackie.
Good morning. Good morning. Jackie H., recovered in Colorado. So good to be on this meeting. Reading this section this morning, it triggered me to think about my journey coming in to this particular fellowship, and the word crave. I have, seems like most of my life I've craved something. I think there's this place in me that has always craved God, craved my higher power, craved that love that is just so rich and so unconditional. And I looked for, you know, the song, I looked for love in all the wrong places. Well, I was looking for God everywhere, and I tried, oh man, it was just so exhausting, the things. And I was a pastor's wife for many years, so I was there, and I was reaching, craving God, and and then found it in food and alcohol. It was being on a wheel. And I came into this fellowship, and I came in like a little child, because I was desperate. I knew there was something really, really not right with me. And I'm 71 years old, and I thought, this is, you know, I've tried a long time. I'm going to come in here and do what they tell me to do. And I am so delighted that as a result of these steps, I actually finally found my connection to what I've been looking for all these decades. And that I get to turn around and be of service to other people and take them through these steps, knowing that what will happen if they do these steps like they're designed to do, in order, and that it will accomplish what they are meant to do, and that is a spiritual awakening. And I am grateful today for that. I'm grateful for this fellowship that's been preserved over the years. The first time I ever heard of it was my dad. He was an alcoholic, and he was recovered, and this is my first experience with AA, and that many years ago, right? 70. And today, these rooms are still there, and this book is still here, and God preserved this. And today I get to walk with God for a change, instead of trying to find my way in other things. And I get to serve. I get to be of service to God and my fellows. That's what these steps did for me too. It didn't just make me happy and give me a spiritual awakening. It put me in a place to really be used and to be of service to God and my fellows. And I love it, and I love you all. Thank you so much for letting me share.
Thank you, Jackie H. Pia S., you're up. Kathleen O. will be next.
Thank you. Thank you, Melanie. Can you hear me?
I can.
Yeah. This is Pia S. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Florida, and I feel so blessed today that I can be on this meeting. I remember coming in, I was in so much pain, and I heard about this meeting, and I started listening, but I only listened to the recording, and I was sure that I would never meet anyone on the line. How is that possible? And actually, there are people that I've never met, physically, but I've met them on the line. I'm talking to them on the phone. And that is how I create the fellowship that I crave. And I remember being in disease, I destroyed so many friendships and so many relationships. And as a recovered person, as the result of working these steps, I can create new healthy friendships now and relationships, and it's just so wonderful to be able to do that. Like others have shared, I had this craving. I had this big hole that I tried to fill with food and with things and all kinds of stuff. And now I fill myself up with God, and it feels so much better, and I feel so much more at peace, and I don't wake up in the morning in the food fog. I wake up with God, and I'm just so grateful, and there's like my heart is just bursting with gratefulness to OA and to this fellowship, and I'm looking forward to stepping up with being more available as a sponsor, and so I'm going to announce myself after Melanie, so I'll talk to you later. Thanks for letting me share.
Great. Thanks, Pia S. Kathleen O., you're next, and Betty C. will come after you.
Hi, Kathleen. Good morning, Melanie. Thank you. This is Kathleen O., recovered compulsive overeater in Northern California. And God will determine that, so you must remember that your real reliance is always upon Him. This is about me not being self-centered anymore, but being other-centered. And, this is sort of a, for those who are agnostic or atheist, the God and the Him may make you bristle a little bit. So, if that's the case, and that makes me bristle sometimes, I change those words into acronyms, God, good orderly direction. And God is good and God is powerful. And the directions on page 86 tell us, what to do so that we can rely on God. And we don't rely on our sponsor or anybody else, really, or I don't, because it doesn't work. I've tried it. But it, and it gives us directions on what to do and how to do that on page 86. We ask God for inspiration. If we're not certain what to do, we ask God for inspiration, intuitive thought or decision. We pause and ask for the next right thought or action. And the word crave is a powerful desire for something. And, I used to crave being right. I used to crave, all the flour, sugar, fat items anyone could ever imagine. And I was obsessed with them. And today, following the directions in this book, where it starts off by telling us that entire abstinence is really the only solution that we have, to put the food down and start working the steps with a clear mind. And going through these steps, it's like now what I crave is I crave, you know, the connection I have with all of you. I crave, you know, being abstinent and being connected to my higher power. I crave being able to let things go and not having to be right, because when I don't have to be right, I can be happy. And I really crave being happy. And this program really does work. And all we have to do is follow the directions and continue to rely on this power, whatever way you define it, you know, goodness, love, power, rely on that to direct. And I find that, you know, I get the direction I need. And sometimes I hear it through your voices. I'll make a call to someone and hear what I need to hear. Or a sponsee will call me and ask a question, and I'll hear what I need to hear when I'm talking to them. So anyway, thank you so much, and I pass.
Thank you very much, Kathleen O. Betty C., you're up. Then Julie E.B. would be next. Hi, Betty.
This is Betty C. in Washington State. Can I be heard?
You can.
Okay, thank you. Good morning. What a difference being in a live meeting versus listening to the recording. This is thrilling to be able to do a live meeting. I do not work in the winter time, so this is a rare treat. And I want to focus on the cravings. My food cravings is what got me here, but I realized there all the other cravings that I had and was trying to fill myself up with is what was really bringing me down, the deficit in my soul. And I, when I landed here, it was as a result of a conversation with my Al-Anon sponsor, and she suggested going to a Big Book meeting. She said, I found strong recovery in those meetings, in the morning meetings, and I said, okay, I'll give it a try. And so I went on the website, found the time for those meetings, and came in, and I thought, oh my gosh, they're telling my story. They must have been reading my mail. They know me. And I knew I had found a home, and I had that same feeling that I did when I found my home in Al-Anon. But it was like this was actually dealing with my primary addiction. And so I have also thanked my Al-Anon sponsor and the fellows in this room. I want to thank you, too, for the behavior you've instilled about the all importance of service, of giving back what's been so freely given to me, and that if I give it away, I have a better chance of keeping it. And boy, do I want to keep it, because I want to hang on to the peace that I have inside today. I no longer have that restlessness and that searching and yearning for something to fill that hole. And my fellows here know what that's all about. So I'm not telling them something they don't understand. I'm not trying to explain something you already know. And boy, did I need that affirmation that, yes, you get me, you understand. And that was very healing for me. And so that's about all I have to say today, except thank you, thank you, thank you. And with that, I will pass.
Thank you so much, Betty C. Then we're going to go to Julie E.B., but I just want you to know that after Julie E.B. shared, we'll open up the lines for a few more people to comment on paragraph 1, page 164 of the Big Book. Julie E.B., good morning to you. Press star 1, Julie E.B.
Okay. I thought you just said Betty, then me. Did we skip that? Okay. Sorry about that.
Yeah, Betty just spoke? Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry. Sorry. Oh, this is Julie. God will determine this. That's the line I like. I'm Julie, gratefully recovered by the grace of God in Colorado Springs. Just really happy to be on the line today and grateful for this fellowship that I crave. God will determine that so much about what practical faith can look like just in these few paragraphs. It's quite amazing to me. And God will determine that, huh? There's a notion. I thought that I determined everything, and I was in charge of everything. And this is something different indeed. In fact, it says that I don't need even the things that help me get there, the things I used to do, which is hours upon hours on with sponsors, telling over and over again long-winded stories about my troubles. Now I can just take a few words. I can take that chance to use those few words about a resentment, a fear, or harm, and do those in a 10th step. Do those in a 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. I can use the tools. I can take just a few words or even just a pause to reconnect with a higher power. And I can reach out and offer service and become deeply connected with the God that determines this. And that higher power looks different for everything, everyone. But what a loving higher power is pictured here that will give me the fellowship I crave. I always felt alone, crowded room, by myself, with my family. But the fellowship I crave is based on a common solution. It's based on kindliness, tolerance, patience, acceptance, love, humility. It all started with offering myself to my higher power and asking to be relieved of the bondage of myself so my higher power, God, could determine what my life would be. So I'm praying for a day of happy usefulness, and I wish the same for you. Thanks for letting me share. I pass.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Julie E.B. The lines are now open for folks to comment on paragraph one. We're going to focus on that one today, page 164 of the Big Book, and I can take some names.
Courtney.
Reggie.
This is
Faith
N. Nancy T.
This is Susan in Florida.
And of Courtney D. Okay. Nancy T.
Susan
K.
Nancy T. as in Tom.
Okay, gotcha. Susan S. I. in
Kathleen
Florida.
D. Faith M.
Andrea K. Kathleen G. Is that what it was?
Yes.
Kathleen G. Is that what it was? Okay, and then I have Janet H. And then
Andrea K.
Andrea K.
Andrea K.
Gotcha, Andrea K. So we got six there. Let's see what time allows with those six. Probably have some more. Have Courtney B.
And
Nancy T. Susan S.
Was it page? Oh.
I'm sorry. What did you say?
What page is it on?
164, paragraph one.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Now let's see what where you were at. Courtney B., Nancy P., Susan S. I., Kathleen G., Andrea K., and Janet H. Good morning, Courtney.
Good morning. This is Courtney B. from Northern California. How are you today? Hi, everybody. Mm. When we read Our Reliance is Always Upon Him, it just made me smile because this whole healing process I've been involved in has been that, moving away from me and all the burden of trying to figure out my life and your life and work life and the community and the world's life. It's all on my shoulders. I got to figure everything out. And I've been in over my head. To come to believe that there's a power greater than myself that is pure love and trust in God's goodness. Yeah, I'm not so sure about that. So it's been a sometimes quick, sometimes slow movement from saying, God, I can't figure this out. I didn't see this one coming. And so burdened with everybody's issues and within the fellowship of trying to mother, manipulate, manage the fellowship, trying to mother, manage, manipulate life and, you know, to just come to the point saying, you know what, God, I'm in over my head. And they're telling me in step three that there's a God that actually would care for me. That was mind-blowing. And it still is. Every day I'm like, good morning, you're here, right? In me, living in me. I've got a lifeguard on duty now who actually cares about me and the fellowship. And so when meetings close that used to disturb me terribly. And now I'm like, you know, I get to participate. But one of my prayers I've come to in the last year is, you know what, God, I'm so done telling you and giving you great ideas and pick one, you know, all this could work. But I didn't see this coming. Oh, crap. I hadn't factored that in. And now, more and more, each day, living in just today, reading all the stuff, letting it sink into my heart, I get to become a child and trust. Oh, well, this is God's stuff. So one of my prayers now is I'm never going to ask you, God, to bless anything I'm up to, because somehow it's always I'm getting the credit here. But if there's something you're blessing that I could participate in, I'm in. And I see this massive, wonderful healing movement within this fellowship. I get to participate. I get to have a voice and a vote. And if things don't go my way, I don't care anymore. It's fine. There's a lifeguard on duty. And that way I get to be a child and play and be grateful. So I'm so happy for that. My body doesn't feel burdened like it used to with everybody trying to rely just on me. There's a God who loves me all the time, concerned about my life and your life. This is a good thing. God's a much better project manager than I am. And so I've come over this, certainly this past year, to say, you know what, God, I don't really know. Could you please be the project manager? And I'm open to ideas and guidance. Thanks.
Thanks, Courtney B. Nancy T., it's your turn. Susan S. I. next.
Hi there. This is Nancy from Florida. I just wanted to comment that I just did resentments with my sponsor. And it's just so interesting how, you know, I'm 46, but my resentments were 40 years old. And, you know, I just, you know, going over it with her, realized that when I was younger and trying to go to college and get scholarships, I would always say the sob stories, you know, like, oh, single parent, immigrant family, blah, blah, blah. And I guess I just, over the years, held on.
I'm thinking she's coming back here. Let's hang on for her. Might be the voice she's hearing in her head. Nancy, are you still
there with
us?
Hi, I'm so sorry.
There you go.
Talking to me.
I know.
Talking nonstop. Anyway, I'm so sorry. I did my resentments, and they were 40 years old. And what I figured out is that I have held on to this victim mentality all these years, and at the same time feeling like I was the best director of my life, period, and I'm a warrior, and I could do it all, and I'm so tough because look at what I survived. But really, hanging on to this story and this rhetoric in my head that I'm abandoned and that I'm, you know, victimized, it doesn't serve me anymore, you know? It's not doing anything for me. It's keeping me, like the other person that shared, in the negative story, the victim story. This happened to me and this happened to me. And I love my new sponsor because she's so gentle and she's just like, okay, we're going into the story right now. We're going into the resentment right now. This is gossiping. And I didn't even realize that I communicated like that, and I sounded that awful and self-serving. So I just love what this paragraph says because, you know, really God is in charge, and I have finally created an image in my head that whenever I need God, I could, you know, just like poof, he will appear. And, you know, I finally feel like I am eligible to have my own personal higher power rather than one that lives in the church. And with that, I will pass, and I am so sorry about everything I was hearing on my end.
Oh, you didn't hear. We didn't hear it.
Oh, yeah, but
yeah, we don't hear it.
Okay, thanks.
Thanks so much. Nancy T., that's our friend Nancy T. Okay, Susan S. I., you're here to visit with us about this paragraph, and then Kathleen G. will come next.
Hi, Melanie. Thanks. This is Susan S.I. in Florida. I was just looking up let me see if I can find it. Oh, the definition of craving. It says an intense, urgent, or abnormal desire or longing. Well, for my time in program, which has been 4 decades, I've always desired and longed for a connection with a higher power. And I couldn't ever find one. You know, step two to me talks about the quality of my spiritualness, not the quantity. Doesn't matter if I pray 3, 4, 5 times, but the quality of what do I do to gain this spiritual being. And I'm so grateful that I have found it. I'm grateful that I stuck around for the miracle. And I'm grateful that you're here. Whenever I want to get on the phone, I can talk to somebody or many people and know that I'm never alone, because that's what God wants me to be. And I'm grateful for it, and I'm just happy that you're all here. And I've been absent about 6 weeks now, and that's a miracle in itself, because I fought recovery. I fought a food plan. I fought the tools. I fought anything that would help me. And today, that was 6 weeks ago. And today, I'm just absolutely grateful for everything that I have on a daily basis. Thank you all for being here. Done.
Thank you so much, Susan S.I. Oh, let's see who's coming next. Kathleen G. is on board now, and then Andrea K. next.
Good morning. It's Kathleen D., as like dog.
Okay, thank you so much.
Thank you. And thank you for letting me share. You know, something that jumps out to me about this paragraph is just, I really just love the gentleness of the program. And you know, I remember, you know, this was written in the 1930s. So, and in Vision for You, we're giving guidance of, you know, now we've overcome our drinking, we've learned a new way of life, we're recovered, and then, you know, what is our vision from here? And it's talked about so beautifully from the early experience. And in the previous page, something similar is written as this paragraph, because I love the way Bill repeats himself as he describes the journey. And it says, you may say to yourself, I'm jittery and alone. I can't do this, you know, sharing, you know, this fellowship. But you can. You forget you have just now tapped a source of power much greater than yourself to duplicate with such backing. What have you accomplished? What we have accomplished is only a matter of willingness, patience, and labor. And to me, this is like repeating again, you know, I won't have the benefit who wrote this book, because why wouldn't I have doubt to reach out? You know, I was just jittery. I was just not abstinent. I was just, because when this book was written, people moved quickly. And as I'm sponsored now, I'm moving quickly, you know. And I can totally relate how this doubt will come up for me and has come up for me. In recovery, you know, I've had situations where doubt has come up for me. So and it's so gentle. We cannot be sure. That's such a gentle reminder of what my new way of life is, and that God will determine that. So what I have to remember is my real reliance upon Him and how it will show me how to create the fellowship that I crave. And I have lost contact with my fellowship, because I've just lost contact over people, places, and things. And I've craved that fellowship, and I've come back to Vision for You. And, all these things are being revealed to me to be open-minded. I can't be sure. Let God determine that. And I also love the asterisk. How gentle AA was back then, before phone calls, before computers, before very many face-to-face meetings. So I am in the fourth edition here, and there were many. But it still says alcoholics will be glad to hear from you. And it gives their address for the General Service State Office. That's just so AA. That's just so recovery. To reach out and help us learn how to create fellowship. Thank you for letting me share.
Thank you, Andrea. No. Yeah. I don't know where I'm at. Anyway, it's actually Kathleen D., and I'm looking for Andrea K.
Hi, Andrea Kay from Las Vegas. Good to be on the line this morning. It's the first time I'm sharing on this line, but I felt really compelled to share, you know, that craving. It's such a double-edged sword for me, you know, because I had so many cravings for the food, you know, and I never realized that what I was really craving was connection with my higher power and connection with my fellows. And I really find such hope on these meetings. You know, I've been in and out of OA for over 13 years. And when I moved to my new location, I had, I kind of came in and I sort of went back out quickly because I really wasn't hearing a message of hope. I was just hearing a lot of, you know, like, how do we keep eating and still call it abstinent, and that kind of like craziness where you know, surrounded by fellows who are still living in the disease was what I grew up in, you know, not that any of my family even knew of 12-step, but there was still that sense of craziness, and it really was difficult for me to connect and for me to want to be there, you know. And I kind of gave up on OA many times because I just thought this is just not the answer for me. And, you know, when I started listening to Vision for You, I was like, this is something different. This is something really, really different. And it took what it took for me to really get to my knees with the food because the thought of entire abstinence really scared me for a long time. But that, when it talks about that thing that I crave, you know, the craving for fellowship, that you'll find it will just happen. But I think the most important thing for me was it wasn't going to happen until I really was ready to give up the food. It's almost like the two things couldn't exist. I couldn't still hang on to my addiction and then also be open for the real connection with other people who are walking the walk that I want to walk, you know? And it's nothing against anyone else who wants to do it differently, but it just doesn't work for me because I am a real compulsive overeater. I am like bottom of the barrel. This thing will kill me. And it doesn't matter how wonderful my life is because my life is wonderful, but I can't stop eating once I start. And, you know, it was really powerful and very emotional for me to admit that and then be willing to do entire abstinence. And, you know, I've heard a fellow say, like, you know, the minute I put down the food, you better give me something. And that's how I felt. And so that's why I'm really clutching to the fellowship, to being a part of this thing. And that's kind of why I'm opening my mouth today. It's totally nerve-wracking because I have so much respect for you guys. And I feel like, what do I have to say? But I just want to connect and say, I'm here. Thank you. And I want to be a part of this group. And I want what you guys have. And thank you so much for walking the walk, because if you guys weren't here, I don't know where I'd be. Thank you.
Thanks, Andrea K. Janet H., your turn to share. And that will be the last share for the day today. Good morning, Janet.
Hi, can I be heard?
You can now. Good morning.
Awesome. Good morning. This is Janet H. I am gratefully recovering in Orange County, California, in the rain here. I'm really grateful for this meeting this morning. And, when I was before program and early on in program for me, I craved the feeling of being understood. You know, I just felt so misunderstood or so unknown. And the truth is that nobody in my family ever did want to know who I really was. So there was some of that there. But, and I also craved a diagnosis. If I had a mental health diagnosis that I can blame my problem on, then I wouldn't have to do all that work, you know, 12 steps and all that. And it's ironic because I do have a mental health diagnosis now, and all that means to me is, along with some outside help, I just have to work my program maybe a little harder than someone else might have to, not less. It's not, you know, it's not an either-or situation. But, having worked the 12 steps, you know, and continuing to do so, and with my relationship with God, that feeling that, you know, that I craved of being known is gone. And now the craving I have is to be of service. And that is really a miracle from this completely self-centered, selfish girl that I was. And, you know, that's where the promises have really come true for me, in that area. And so now I just love the idea. I love being of service. And I know that sometimes, like, a sponsee might feel like she's bringing me down if, you know, things aren't going well with her food or whatever. It's like, you know what? Being able to be involved with someone else's process of getting a spiritual awakening is the greatest honor I think I could possibly have. And, you know, that's what the whole idea of service is. We're trying to create a spiritual awakening in someone. And until they have it, they just have to trust that we have, you know, that what we say is true, that we have that connection to God and to other people. And, you know, all of that really started with Bill, you know, when he had that spiritual awakening at Towns Hospital. Because the energy that was created from that is the energy that created all service in 12-step programs. Once he had that, he just wanted to sober up all the drunks in the world, which it talks about in his preceding, you know, in the preceding paragraph. No stopping until everyone has had the opportunity to recover if he can. And Bill was after that, and to the extent that he and Lois lost their home and, you know, didn't have a car and had to depend on other people, but it was worth it to them, and thank God for that, because we're all here today. And, you know, I started in another fellowship, and I'll just finish with this. The bottom line for me is that it's within Overeaters Anonymous that I feel my true companionship with other human beings at a depth that I've never felt before, and I am eternally grateful. Thanks for letting me share.
Thank you, Janet H. And that does conclude the sharing portion of our meeting, and we're going to wrap up the recorded portion of this meeting by reading page 164 and saying the Serenity Prayer. Thank you to everyone that served on the Vision for You Thursday Big Book Study meeting together this month. We're grateful for that. And I will now ask PAS to please read page 164. Our book is meant to be suggestive only.
Thanks, Moni, for your service. This is PAS, recovered in Parkland, Florida. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you